Amen. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I don't know if we're going to get through 1 through 10, but we're going to try to take a chunk out of it. We covered 1 through 5 last week, and verse number 1 through 4 last week, and verse number 5 is just so impactful. Okay, the word of the Lord, Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Amen. 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 Father God, right now, we pray right now, Father God, that we, like the Ninevites, would believe God. That we would believe in God, and we would bow down in humility, knowing fully that we deserve nothing but judgment. Amen. And then we would, like the Ninevites, turn from our evil ways. And Lord knows our ways are evil. That we would turn from our evil ways, that we would turn from our evil thoughts, that we would turn from our evil deeds, and that we would give our lives to the Lord, that he would turn us into something sweet and something special, something fit for heaven. Father God, we want to go to heaven. Father God, we talk about going to heaven, but nobody wants to die to anything. Father God, we can't take this dead, wretched body filled with his thoughts and deeds and actions to heaven with us. Father God, give us the strength, the faith to turn to you. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We talked about that last week. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. God is a God of second chances. And we talked how God is a God of many chances. And many of us, if God would have stopped giving us second chances, or stopped at our second chance, we've been lost. We've been lost a long time ago. He told Jonah to rise and go to Nineveh. He called it again, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid unto thee. And that's interesting to me. What did Jonah preach? What did Jonah preach? That's a big question. What did Jonah preach? The word of God said he preached. The word of God said he preached. He said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid unto thee. So Jonah arose. No flack this time. No sitting down wondering. No running off to Joppa. No running down to Tarshish. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great and exceeding city of 3 days' journey. It was a big city doing big things. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey and cried. That word cried means he started to proclaim what thus say the Lord. He started to cry. It was a loud cry. So we get used to it. I know people that I can't listen to preachers like you because you're too loud. You too noisy. I like smooth preachers, nice and quiet preachers. Well, the Ninevehs didn't need that kind of preaching. And like I said last week, many of us was in Nineveh when God called us.
Amen.
And we couldn't hear that smooth, quiet message to tell you, well, you know, everything's going to be fine. Well, let me tell you something. That wasn't the message that Jonah had for the Ninevites. Everything wasn't going to be fine. He was telling them, turn or burn. He was preaching hell and damnation. He was saying, turn or burn. And I believe the message would have been, well, you know what God did to them Egyptians when we was getting ready to cross the Red Sea. You know what God did to them Egyptians? He's going to do the same thing to y'all. Because I know my God. Same thing he did to Jericho, he's going to do to y'all. I believe Jonah gave them the business. Jonah didn't like them. He didn't like them. Matter of fact, Jonah hated the Ninevites. And he was waiting for God to destroy him. He preached, God getting ready to destroy y'all in 40 days. And I believe he probably gloated about it. But he preached it. And I believe God called him specifically to preach to them like that. These were hard people. These were difficult people. These were people that God was asking to repent. Think about what we're doing. Think about what we're doing. And think about how hard it is for us to stop doing something.
Uh-huh.
Think about it now. Some of us have been doing some of the same sins for a long time. Okay? And we've been called out time and time and time and time again. But you know what? We take that thing back home. We would sit in these church pews and walk right out of here with that same sin. And we not turning. I'm not giving this up. Okay? Now here's Nineveh. You think about great cities in our country. Many of them are known for something. Okay? You think about Youngstown, known for the steel mills. Back in the day, known for the steel mills. Okay? Think about it. That's what the Youngstown was built on, the steel mills. Think about Detroit. You think about Detroit. What do you think about? Cars. You think about cars. You think about California. What do you think about? Silicon Valley. That's what you think about. Okay? You think about Iowa and Wisconsin. They're the farming countries. Now, when you think about Nineveh, what do you think about? Evil. These were evil people. These were marauders. They know what they made a living out of, going to other countries and spoiling them and robbing them and taking all their stuff and coming back. That's what they did. That's what they had to repent from. Their whole way of life. That's what God was sending Jonah there to do. And Jonah knew in his heart, he said, these jokers can't do this. God gonna destroy these folks. You know he's wrong. Let's keep going to the story. I was praying and I said, you know, give us the strength to believe God. No. We don't need the strength to believe God. All of us in here believe God. The whole world believe God. Folks in hell is full of folks that believe God.
Amen.
Okay?
That's right.
Let me say that one more time. Hell is full of folks that believe God.
Amen.
Okay? One little word separates folks going to heaven or going to hell. Believe in God. That's what it said that the Ninevites did in verse number 5. It says, so the people of Nineveh believed God.
Believed.
They believed God was capable of doing what Jonah said he could do. The people, they believed constantly, consistently. They understood what Jonah was saying, and they made application to their lives. They made a change.
Amen.
They made a change. Let me give you this great text. Some of you familiar with it, and we studied this, but it's worth repeating. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul came to the Thessalonians. And then, see, this is the difficulty of preaching. You can expect hostility from preaching to folks that are unlearned and unwilling to change. Watch what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse number 5. And you guys are familiar with this. Say, for Paul here is coming to the Thessalonians. These are heathen folks. And he's going to open up the scriptures to them. And this is important. Paul knew it was important. He knew it was going to be problematic. It says this, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. What did they believe? They believed in God prior to that. They believed in a God that had no son named Jesus, who died on the cross and was buried and rose on the third day. Now you causing me problems in my mind, Paul. Because the God I believe in is just the God over everything. The God I believe in didn't have a son who was born of a virgin, who died on a cross, and who was buried and rose on the third day. Now you're asking me to believe a lie. That's going to cause me problems because it's going to change the way that I've always thought. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. How did Paul bring the word of God to these people? Same way Jonah did, with power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Why? As you know what manner of men we were among you. They knew Paul was a man of God. Paul was a man of God. Paul was faithful, whether they liked him or not. See, sometimes we don't always like the preacher. We don't always like the messenger. And we were studying Barak and Deborah. Well, you know what? Can he back up what he's saying? With a changed life, a changed life of moral character and integrity.
Amen.
See, we don't have signs and wonders like the apostles did back in the day. They come with a word. They say, listen, we got signs and wonders to back us up. You know what the man of God has today? The word of God. You know what else he has? Integrity.
Amen.
And moral character.
Amen.
You don't have that, they don't have anybody listen to you. But if you preach it and you don't have that, and everybody you preach it don't have that, then you have a big congregation. Because folks don't like being called out.
Amen.
Folks don't like being challenged. Folks don't like to be asked to change. You know what? To be asked to change is one of the most difficult things you could be asked. Some of us have been working on our jobs for years, and the boss come around and say, we're changing things. Wait a minute. Some folks still, right to this day, some folks are being phased out. Why? Because they can't change. They can't learn to work on computers. They can't learn to do things. There's a high-tech world, and folks are being phased out because they're unwilling to change. Well, I ain't never going to use a computer. I mean, they said folks, there are folks still using telephone books. Because they refuse to learn. They refuse to accept change and challenges in which are designed to make you grow. To make you grow. Here's Paul again. He's saying in 1 Thessalonians, he said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of in much affliction and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, folks. When you receive the word of God, and you lost, and you troubled, and you set in your ways, whether your ways are good or whether your ways are bad. Some way, some things, God, I'm good. I'm a good person. And God will come in there and challenge you. Okay? It's going to cause affliction. The word of God said, many are the what? Afflictions of the righteous. You know, righteous folks suffer. Righteous folks suffer. You know, we think righteous folks just like the price is right. Come on down. You know, you're the next contestant. You're getting all this stuff. But righteous folks, you know what we get the most? If you're righteous in a fallen world. You know what you're going to get the most of? If you're a righteous person in a fallen world. You're trying to do right in a fallen, godless world where people say, well, you know, just let it go. You see them people, let it go. Don't worry about it. You know what you're going to get the most of? Affliction.
Amen.
Trouble come my way. The song say, I have to what? I have to cry sometime. We don't want to sing the old songs no more. Everything is popping, finger popping. It's a, you know, oh man, this ain't it funky now. Sometimes I turn on the gospel radio station and I don't know what I'm listening to.
Uh-huh.
It's just the beat, you know, I'm like, man, I heard that thing, I was lost. That's the same beat. They just changed the words.
Amen.
But no one wanted, I had to cry sometime. I heard one lady sing a song. Y'all know I like it. No cross, no crown. If you can't stand heartache and being lied on and being talked about, listen, no cross, no crown. Nobody wants to sing that.
Amen.
Put that in your folder. Keep going, Pastor. Look at verse 7. So that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Acadia. You know what they know what these folks did? After they received the word of God, after they suffered affliction, they went out and told folks about Jesus. They went out and told the whole world what God had done for them. Think about that. I ask yourself, how many people might be in heaven because of your testimony? Think about that. How many people have your life affected? How many people have been impacted by your testimony? By your walk with God? How many people did you tell last week about how good God is? Think about how easy it is to talk about the calves or the Browns, or the Steelers, or the draft, or a baby shower, or getting ready for a graduation. Think about how easy it is to talk about those things. And how hard it is to talk about what supposedly is the greatest thing that ever happened to you when God saved you.
Amen.
I think about how easy it is to talk about the fact that my daughter's having a baby. How easy it is to share that with people, you know? Oh, she was born 1.10 ounces. Oh, now she's 7 pounds, 9 ounces, and she's supposed to come home in a couple weeks. I got pictures. It's easy for me to talk about that. How easy is it for us to talk about the goodness of God? How easy is it for us to talk about how many chapters we studied today, the devotion that we're going through, the Bible study we're preparing for, how we've been praying? That's what these folks did. Well, here's the key. Here's the key when somebody believe in God versus believe God. Verse 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had in unto them, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living God. Let me tell you something, folks. To believe means to turn. Okay? To believe means to turn. You can't believe and stay in the same place. One expositor put it like this. Believing is like you in the airport. Say you in Youngstown Airport and you on your way to California. Okay? You have to leave Youngstown to get to California. You can't believe and stay in the same place. If you're going to believe, you got to leave something. Am I making that plain? If you say you believe, that man, you left something. Now, that makes sense, Matthew? You say you believe. Okay, I believe. That means what you was believing before, you don't believe anymore. I mean, before you believe, you serve the devil. Let's keep it 100. You serve the devil. Now, you can't tell me you believe in God and never leave the airport. And I believe a lot of people miss their flights. They believe, but they stay in the same place. All right, let me keep going. Listen, I'm back in Jonah. This great text, verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Uh-oh. And proclaimed a fast. The people did. See, a lot of us, we missed that. And we'll say, well, the king ordered the fast. No, the king didn't order this fast. Pay attention to the scripture. The king didn't order this fast. See, if your house is on fire, if your carpet on fire, you're not going to call the fire department to stand there and watch it. When the fire department get there, you're gonna be out of breath because you pouring water on it. You trying to put the fire out. Okay? Stay with me. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and see, their belief caused them to do something. Now the question, Pastor, I know you're gonna ask it. What has your belief caused you to do? What has your belief? You say you believe in God. What has it caused you to do? Because you can't believe and not do nothing. You can't believe them wear the same clothes. You can't believe them go to the same places. You can't believe them do the same things.
Amen.
Okay? You can't. You can't believe and stay the same.
Amen.
You just can't. That's what the text is saying. They believe God and proclaim a fast. What's that word? Proclaim mean. Okay? They spoke this thing. And they told all the people they loved. Why? Because Jonah said 40 days. I said it last week. If a man of God came into your little world and said 40 days, everything that you love, every person that you love, all your grandchildren, all your babies, your husband, your everybody that you love is going to be gone in 40 days. Let me tell you something. It's going to change you. If you believe that. Now, if you don't believe it, you're just going back, gone as usual. Okay? And some folks will wait till the 39th day and proclaim a fast. They believed. Verse number 4, 5. And proclaimed a fast. Okay? What's a fast, Pastor? What kind of fast did they do? Well, Eastern fast. Based on most teachers, Eastern fast was start at sunset. Okay? They would eat at sunset. And then they wouldn't eat again until, if it was 8 o'clock, they wouldn't eat. They'll stop eating at 8 o'clock. They'll eat a meal at 8 o'clock, and then they wouldn't eat nothing else until 8 o'clock. That was a common Eastern fast. I think it's in 1 Samuel 1 and 13. When David's son died, was sick, they fasted from sunset to sunset, 24 hours. Now, most of us in here probably couldn't go 3 hours. If I surrounded you with peanuts and said, don't eat for 3 hours. You know, so most of us, we'd be screaming.
Amen.
Well, I love peanuts. It may not be peanuts for you. Think about it. They proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth. What's sackcloth? Some people call it goat hair. Burlap sack. We think about a burlap sack. Some of y'all, it's just fun. Y'all now automatically somebody think about a picnic when they had the sack races and how they won the sack race at the church picnic. I think we had one of those years ago. Somebody put a sack race together, but it was a burlap. It wasn't burlap, but it was a goat's hair, and it was designed to irritate you, to make you uncomfortable. And just think about it. See, some of you be so comfortable. That alone would like, I ain't no way. I don't, you know, people look at me and say, you know, you wear a collar and a robe. Don't you want to be comfortable? There ain't nothing up here comfortable.
Amen.
Okay? There ain't nothing about doing this that's comfortable. And, you know, and I was telling Cindy before I came out of my office, I said, I want to wear the most uncomfortable robe I have. Just to push the message.
Amen.
Okay? There's nothing comfortable about being a minister or a pastor.
Amen.
See, we want to be comfortable. Oh, listen, I hear people all the time. You know, I was working at the prison as a sergeant. I wore a tie every day. It didn't matter. I wore a tie every day. 90 degrees. 100 degrees, I had a tie on. And I swept through that shirt. People said, you gonna wear that tie? I said, I'm gonna wear this tie. They asked me why. They said, Sergeant Neil, why don't you wear that tie? Why don't you just be like us and be comfortable? Let me tell you, I said, you know what I tell you? Let me tell y'all something. There ain't nothing comfortable about working no prison. Okay? When I gotta pay attention to every little detail, I need to be uncomfortable. See, you, when you're uncomfortable, your attention is better. We so comfortable. Oh my goodness. If folks would come in here in shorts and everybody with just shorts on, there's some churches like that. Uh-huh. It's just tank tops and, you know, and it, we just come in here in the old kind of way. God forbid. Evelina, now stop it. My goodness. I couldn't even think about wearing anything that's going to make me a little uncomfortable. You're going to get right with God. God gonna make you uncomfortable. Amen. There ain't nobody right with God comfortable. Amen. Okay? Not down here. See, this is a problem. We want to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable. The air, you got the air on, the fans going in, and folks, well, if their condition broke, half wouldn't come. Stay with me. And they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Even to the least. You know what that least mean? They put sackcloth on them babies. See? They put sackcloth on them. Sackcloth on the baby. See? The children's rights advocates would have been all over Nineveh. Yeah, making them babies uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. They put sackcloth on the babies. Why? What was the purpose of this? What's the purpose of sackcloth and ashes? First of all, it's a picture of divine humiliation. It's a picture of a person confessing their sins before God. When they look at God and they look at themselves, they say, you know what, God? I am nothing. I am nothing. All that I have is nothing. Paul put it, all that I have is dung. Dung. Filthy rags. And it's a picture of saying, the ashes are a picture of saying, God, you have the right to burn it all up and take, after you burn it all up, pour the ashes on me. Okay? Oh, that ain't, we can't even think like that. You know, and remember, pouring the ashes is dirt and filth. They didn't have showers. They couldn't go in like we do and turn on a shower and, you know, lather up with some Dow or some, you know, whatever. And this was going to be on them for a while. And this was uncomfortable. You're talking about a 90, probably the climate over there, 90, 100 degrees, sackcloth and ashes. Stay with me. Look at verse 6. For the word came unto the king. Uh-oh. How did it get to the king? How did it get to the king? Well, obviously this king was looking out over his empire and seeing something going wrong. Something is going wrong. Here's this little white fella coming in here, probably bleached from being in the belly of the whale, telling his story, what happened. Because I didn't want to come talk to y'all. But God prepared a great fish, swallowed me up, spit me out on shore, called me a second time, told me to come here and tell y'all 40 days. 40 days, Nineveh would be overthrown. And he probably said, that's the only good part about it. 40 days, overthrown. And here the king, and the word came unto the king. What word? Now, that's interesting. I believe there's a word of God came to the king. Because Jonah preached the word to Nineveh. And he preached the word of salvation to Nineveh. When he was in the belly of the great fish, what did he say in chapter 2? He said, salvation is of the Lord. So Jonah most likely talked to them about salvation. And the word came into the king of Nineveh, and watch what the king do. See, the king here is a picture of the resurrection. And if you're saved here, the same power to raise Jesus is going to raise you if you've been saved. If you've been saved. If you've been saved, you've been raised from the dead. Paul says in Ephesians 2, and you who have he quickened, that was what? Dead in trespass sins. See the problem? The problem in the most churches, we got dead folks running churches. See, when dead folks run the churches, dead things happen.
Amen.
And see what happened? Paul said, you were quickened. You were raised from the dead. If you're a child of God, you've been raised from the dead. Imagine that. Remember Lazarus? How God in John 11 raised him from the dead? And the word of God said the people came not to see Jesus only, but to see Lazarus, who God raised from the dead. Let me tell you something, folks. Folks ought to be looking at us like, man. I remember that man was a beast. He was a monster. And when God's done something in his life, and I know God has for many of us, the word came to the king. I like that. The word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. How about that? He arose from the throne. And he laid his robe from him. Let me tell you something. When the word come to you, something got to change.
Amen.
See? Word can't come to you. You can't tell me the word that came to you. And you haven't made some changes. Because the word demands that we make changes. The word demands that we change. And as long as I'm in this pulpit, I'm going to keep preaching the word, demanding change. Because you can't take your old crusty dusty into God's kingdom.
Amen.
And the requirement and the duty of the pastor is to preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. Because sooner or later you're going to change or you're going to leave. Sooner or later, you're going to change. You got to leave. See, people say, well, you know, you're going to run everybody out of church. You know, maybe I'm making room for a great revival.
Amen.
I don't know what God is doing.
Amen.
Okay? But he told me to preach the word. And maybe he had to preach everybody out.
Amen.
And then God will start adding to the church because that's his job, not mine.
Amen. That's right.
The word of God said God adds to the church.
Right. Amen.
He said, you preach the word. But folks that hear the word gonna change. Here's the king hearing the word. Here's the king hearing the word. Listen now. The word of the God came to the king. And he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him. How about that? Somebody had a song said, beautiful ashes. He took off his purple and put on ashes. The king. Lord have mercy. And he laid his robe from him. And covered him with sackcloth. Took off the robe. Beautiful robe. Purple. Probably glittered all up. Nice robe. Purple. Nice robe. Took it off. Set it aside. Bring me the ashes. Covered himself with ashes. Now watch this now. He covered himself with sackcloth and set in ashes. He set in ashes. You think he knows something about Job? You think these kings, don't think because folk, evil folk know about the Lord. See, we always try to think that evil folks don't know God, don't know his word. Evil folks know God. Okay? The Bible says the demons believed in God. Or excuse me, the demons what? Trembled. They understood what God was capable of doing. Don't say they ever got saved.
Amen.
See, a lot of demons hear the word of God. See, demons hear the word of God every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And they hear the call. You know what? You will try to call me out of my demon swagger?
Uh-huh.
No, I like being a demon. Some folks like being a demon. They wouldn't know what to do if God made them good. Try it. Some folks like it. Later, this trouble star. Trouble. Everywhere they go. Don't matter. They bring it because that's what demons do. How do I know? I was one of them. Amen. Some folks say you're still one of them. I am. I just switched over.
Amen.
I am a troublemaker. You know, all preachers are troublemakers. The problem with preachers, they try to be buddy-buddy with the congregation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's keep going, Pastor. You. We all know you're a troublemaker.
Amen.
Look at verse 7. I'm going to keep going. Write down the script. And he caused it. Here's this king. He caused it to be proclaimed. You know, kings had always had the power to call a decree. Okay, we know Darius called a decree. What did Darius say? No praying. Nobody pray. Okay? What was they trying to do? They were trying to smoke Daniel out. You know, and Darius got some bad information. See, sometimes you can be surrounded by some bad people. Good kings surrounded by bad people. Okay? He was surrounded by some bad people, got some bad advice, and they was on some jealousy and on some hate. And Darius went along with them and called this decree. And nobody praying. I don't want to catch nobody praying. If I catch you praying, you're going in the lion's den. Daniel said, I ain't worried about no lion's den. See, too many men and women of God worried about the lion's den.
Uh-huh.
See, Daniel said, I ain't worried about the lion's den. You worry about the lion's den? Anybody here worry about the lion's den? And they knew what time he prayed, so when it was time for him to pray, he went up to his room and everywhere, what was he doing? He was praying. Nebuchadnezzar called a decree. He called a decree. He said, listen, I want every time y'all hear, play that funky music, I want everybody to start dancing. Line dancing, that's big now. You know, one song come on, everybody just jump out there and start line dancing. It don't matter. You turn it on. It's called, oh, that's my song. And they get out there and they're, you know, old folks and young folks and folks in wheelchairs line dancing. I seen it. ADA, American Disabilities Act, they come out to the prison, they get in their wheelchairs and they line dancing in wheelchairs. See? And Nebuchadnezzar said, if I catch you not dancing, you're going into the fire. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the three Hebrew boys came down there, and that wasn't their music. They wasn't dancing. They wasn't bowing. And you know what they say? They said, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't care about your fire. Throw us in there and turn it up 7 times hotter. But we won't dance. And if our God is capable, he will deliver us from that fire. And if not, so be it. But we're not going to dance. Boy, we need some folks like that.
Amen.
Man, why don't we have some church folks like that?
Amen.
We don't have church folks dance anything.
Uh-huh.
Dance anything. Stay with me. And he calls it to proclaim. Let me give you another decree. The great decree. Here's the greatest decree ever given. It was given by Caesar. And he called a decree that all should be registered. You know what that did? Fulfill scripture. You know why? Because he got Joseph and Mary where they're supposed to be. It's a good answer. We don't know the real name of the city. But Bethlehem. That decree got them where they're supposed to be going. That decree put Daniel in power. That decree set these three Hebrew boys up for leadership. See, sometimes God will put you in an uncomfortable spot just to test you. See, just to challenge your faith. See if you're going to stand or see if you're going to fall. And we don't like it. And we don't like to be challenged. When God challenged these three Hebrew boys, he challenged Daniel. And he challenged Mary and Joseph because really they didn't have to go. Mary didn't. But she knew where she needed to be. She knew that the son was going to be born in Bethlehem. Y'all get that. I thought this was interesting. Just going through Jonah. There's so many life lessons that you find in Jonah. But watch what the king did. And somebody said, well, what's the problem with this? And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and of the noble, saying, neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste. anything, let them not feed nor drink water. Wait a minute now. The people proclaimed the fast for the people. The king took it another level. He took it another level. He said, we're not going to even feed the animals. See, because God runs all everything. God runs everything. He is large and in charge, and he runs everything. But what's the purpose? What was the purpose of the king saying, don't even feed the animals? Now we got the animal rights folks. Same folks locked Michael Vick up and all them. Maybe all in Nineveh. Now you're being mean to the animals. Wait a minute now. Some folks love the animals more than they love people. Okay? Some folks love animals more than love people. And he wanted the animals to cry. He wanted the animals to cry. You know what? Because animals will cry louder. Animals will cry louder than people. You don't feed your animal. How that dog gonna let you know he hungry? He'll whine for a little while. He'll whine for a little while, and after a while, what he gonna start doing? He gonna start barking, and if you don't feed him, then he gonna start tearing stuff up. Jonah, or the king, he set a decree. He said, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Mightily. He said, listen, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to use every resource we can to get right with God. Are we doing that? Think about it. We got kids in bad situations. We got loved ones lost and children lost and on their way to hell. 40 days, 40 years, it doesn't really matter. But how is our cry? How's our cry? When the last time we really just sit here and just bled tears because our loved ones is lost, don't know the Lord. That's what the king's saying. And we know it too. Well, I pray for you. I hear it all the time. Yeah. I pray for you. And most of the time, we don't even pray for them. Most of the time, we didn't sit here and think about it. We really was honest with ourselves. We ain't pray for nothing. We ain't pray for nothing. Most of us couldn't pray for 5 minutes because the phone beeping and clicking and beeping and going off. A messenger coming in, a text coming in, a email coming in. We don't have. What would happen if it had been Nineveh's day? What would the king say? Turn off all them phones. Think about Nineveh 2017, and this was happening in our country. And then a king would say, turn off all them phones. Turn off all the internet and all the emails. Turn off all the cable. Okay? That's what he would say today. We got a lot of stuff. And what when he said don't feed the animals and don't eat yourself, he said we don't want nothing. We don't want to think about nothing but God. Yeah. Nothing but God. That was the whole purpose of calling the fast. When you fast, you saying, I want to focus on God. I want to focus on God. Amen. And I want all my attention going to God. Amen. Going to God. That's what a fast is for. People are like, I'm on a Nehemiah fast. I'm on a Daniel fast. I mean, I don't want to hear that stuff. Okay? Amen. I hear it all the time. I'm fasting. What you fasting for? I'm fasting because I need a new car. I'm fasting, because I'm trying to pay my house payment. I'm trying to make my bills. I'm fasting for a husband. I'm fasting for a wife. Whatever. Fast on. And can't pass the McDonald's. Yeah. I see it all the time. I see so much stuff. Listen, I said this earlier, and I'm almost done. I didn't think I'd get this far. It said, but let not man or beast be covered. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, and let them turn. Say with me now. Let them turn. See, the fasting and the fasting gives you the strength. People think, you know, if you fast, you get weak. But really, when you fast, you get strong. Fasting is designed to make you strong, not weak. You know, I can fast, you know. Me and Ray. I say, Ray, we're going to fast. He said, go on, go on with that. We're going to fast at Five Guys. Listen, listen. The design of fasting make you strong. You got an area in your life where you weak at. You know, I need some strength there. I need God to give me the strength to do what God has called me to do. And somebody needs to fast for obedience. But let not man or beast. But let man and beast be covered sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Now that was the message that he got. The king was giving them that message. Now remember, I said about Nineveh, it was known for murder and mayhem and violence and evil. And this king is basically saying, we're going to turn all over and we're going to give our lives to the Lord. It was one of the greatest acts of faith you're going to find in the Bible. Okay? And how does faith come? By hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God came and it triggered their faith. And they're going to say, we have to leave everything. Because the Ninevites was all about evil and mayhem and robbery and stealing and killing. And when they said they're going to turn everyone from this evil way, the people didn't say, well, how are we going to live? No, but they were saying, if God is not going to destroy us, he's got to be in a position to provide for us. And if historians say Nineveh became prosperous. They didn't have to kill no more, steal no more, rob no more, but they still became prosperous. Why? Because God provided for them. I used to tell the kids, the inmates at my job, I said, listen, they Christian inmate. They be Christian, and they come from the cafeteria, and they work in the cafeteria, and they come in, and they just stole all the food. So they come off, and that's all we was always bad for. They come in there, and you know, and I say, you just stole all that food from the cafeteria. And they said, well, I got to eat. I said, well, when you steal the food from the cafeteria, you're really saying you don't trust God to provide for you.
Amen.
And you know what? They look at me, they look at me like, you know, like the cat that swallowed the canary.
Uh-huh.
They sit there looking at me stupid, like, man. Yeah, when you steal from God, if you steal from the cafeteria, it's like, I don't believe God can take care of me. I don't believe God can take care of it. I don't trust God. So, that's what you do. And I would call them out. And guess what they did? They stopped stealing. Amen. And guess what they did? God started providing.
Amen.
God provides. God provides. Listen. Ooh, verse 9. I'm going to finish. It's too early. I'm going to finish this.
Amen.
Listen. Who can tell? That's faith. You know what they said? If we do what God has called us to do, we put it all on the table, turn from our evil ways, turn from our wickedness, turn from stealing and robbing and killing and hurting people and evil thoughts, all that, we're going to turn from it. Who can tell? We have done all that we can for God to change his mind about us. See, God repented. The word of God said, and God repented. Don't mess that up. Okay? See, a lot of people say, well, you see, God ain't God. He repented. No, that repent means turn to change his mind. Okay? God, when everybody in here to save, God changed his mind about you. Because you was on your way to hell. You was on your way to hell, and then you heard the word of God, and you repented, turned from your evil ways, and when you turned, God turned. If you want to turn, God would have said, march your little crusty dusty right on down into the LOF. See, and we troubled by that. See, when we troubled by that because we think we can get to heaven not turning. We think we can walk backwards to heaven. No. You must repent. Let me give you a verse. Let me give you a verse. I have all these verses and I haven't hit you with any of them. By the way, you know, you got to back that up. Let me tell you something. Jesus' own word said, the Son of Man came, what? Okay? Here's John, Matthew 3:1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus also said this, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance has always been a requirement for salvation. And you can't repent without having faith. God, give me the faith to repent. Amen. For grace are you saved through faith. God, give me the faith to repent. God, give me the strength to repent. You can't repent on your own. You can't. Well, I don't repent. No, you're not. This God gives you strength to. Okay? Ask God for strength. Give me strength to repent. I never heard that before, Pastor. Yeah, you need strength. You can't repent on your own. You can't. It's an act of God. Repentance is a miraculous act of God. Listen. But you go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to call sinners to repentance. Okay? He didn't die to call righteous folks. See, righteous folks will never repent. Okay? Jesus said it's easy for a rich man. Excuse me. It's easy. It's harder for... Wait a minute. It's harder for a rich man to enter heaven. Wait a minute. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. How about that? Now, he's saying there's nothing wrong being rich. All right? Nothing wrong being rich. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. But when you focus on your riches, it's hard to focus on anything else. Okay? If you love money, let me tell you something now. If you love money, it's hard to love anything else. Okay? A man that loves money or a woman that loves money, you're going to have a hard time loving anything else. You know why? Money, 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 money. This is a faithful saying. Okay? Faithful. And worthy of all acceptation. Watch this now. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. How did he do it? Gave them the power and the ability to repent. Some of us don't have it. Some of us don't have it. It's my way or the highway. It's my way or the highway. And we just like the Pope. We don't like what the scriptures say. Well, we speak ex cathedra. See, some of y'all throw that off on the Pope. Some of you guys in here speak ex cathedra. You and sit there and the word be clear. Mm-hmm. I know what it say, but I don't agree with it. And that's what the Pope say, the Holy Vicar. Some of y'all like the Holy Vicar. I know what it say. I know what I need to do. But I ain't doing it. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay? I'm not turning. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm not listening to nobody. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Not even the word of God. Sylvia corrected me today in Sunday school. I said, thank you, Sylvia. See, it's a sign of growth. Use the scriptures to do it. She took a scripture and said, listen, you're wrong based on the scripture. And I said, based on that scripture, I'm wrong. Good insight. Who can tell? Who can tell? I'm going to give you one more verse. I'm going to let y'all go. I don't want to, but I am. Matthew 12:41. Some of y'all know this verse. And it's talking about these Ninevites. And it talks about people say, well, I don't know if they was all saved. Yes, the Bible said they were saved. The Bible said they were saved. They believed God and they were saved. How do you know that, Pastor? How can you? Listen, you can't tell if anybody's saved. Listen, I can't. But I know if God's word said they were saved, they were saved. Know why? Because I believe every word of it. Amen. Okay? Now, Matthew 12:41 said the Ninevites were saved. The city was saved. Next week, we're going to talk about how many of them were saved. But right now, it says in verse Matthew 12:41, and the men of Ninevites, shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why? How are they going to rise? They're in heaven. They're coming back to judge. They're going to be with the Lord when he returns. How do you know that? Because they repented. Because they repented. See, we hear one. We, you know, yeah, I tell you all the story all the time. I tell you all the story all the time. It's worth telling you one more time. The doctor, the lawyer, and the pastor went deer hunting, saw a big buck, shot the buck, boom, shot the buck. And then everybody shot the same time. They run over to the buck, look at the buck on the ground. And they all like, well, I did it. Oh, they didn't know. So they called the game warden. The game warden said the pastor shot him. The pastor, the doctors and lawyers said, how do you know that? Because it went in one ear and out the other, clean head. Let me tell you something. You sit here and be unrepentant and unforgiving, and you will be judged by these same Ninevites that sat in ashes and sackcloth. Watch this now. How do you know that, Pastor? I know. I know because the Word of God says I know. The Word of God backs me up, and there ain't nothing better to back me up than the Word of God. God backs me up. The Holy Ghost chiropractor. Got my back. God's got my back. Listen, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why? Why are they going to rise? Why are they going to be in a position to judge? Because they repented. Because they turned. That's what it means. Because they heard the Word of God, and the Word of God confronted them in their error of their ways, in their murderous and killing ways, and they turned from that and put their trust in the Lord. That's what the text is saying. That's what the text is saying. They turned from their evil way of thinking. This is my way or the highway. I don't care what nobody say. Can't no preacher tell me nothing. Can't no minister tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. But this little white bleach man came to the shores of Nineveh on that day and preached the word of God to these Nineveh. Ninevites told them they was on their way to hell if they didn't change their ways, and they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And know what we do here? We sit. We sit and we hear the word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we don't repent nothing. And you know what it says? And behold, pay attention, behold. Pay attention. There's that word. Claire loves that word. Behold, this is something majestic is getting ready to be said. A greater than Jonas is here. A greater than Jonas is here. Who was that greater? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And if the preacher is faithful in his preaching, he's going to preach what thus say the Lord. And you have a greater opportunity than the Ninevites ever had, because we have the 66 books canonized. And listen, I got a whole office full of Bibles. I can get you 1, 2, 3. I can get enough for your whole family. Okay, all you gotta do is say, Pastor, I need 25 Bibles. I'm going to the 4th of July picnic and I want to give all my folks a Bible. Let me tell you something. Ray just brought me home about 75 little hand ones. Take some of them, they on the table out there. Hand them out on 4th of July to your drunken, reefer smoking cousins and uncles that you say you love, and you cry at their funerals, but you won't give them a word of God. Well, all right. Amen. The baby say amen. Yes, yeah, sister. Listen, and God saw their works. I like that. God saw it. God saw their works. Jonah didn't see it. He was already sitting up on the mountain crying and waiting for God to blow it up like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they turned from their evil way. Watch this now. And that they turned from their evil way, and God changed his mind. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Why? Because they changed. Because they changed. Because they turned. Because they turned from their evil ways. Listen, have you turned? See, it's a one-time turn. You're not turning. Okay, it's like you heard the word of God. Okay, I turn. It's not like a screw. You turn it, you know, and then you got to readjust it and turn it again. No, you turn. It's a 180-degree turn. Okay? Now, you can be carnal and turn, and you can be a baby Christian until turn, but you turn. You turn. And you have to ask yourself, have I turned? Have I turned? Or am I turning? Okay? Am I turning? You know, I was at a funeral years ago. Preacher said the one young man got caught, killed in a drug deal going bad. And you know how we try to clean it up, make the family happy, and tell them some wonderful thing. and he made the comment, and I kind of hit me the wrong way. And he said, well, he was like the prodigal son, and he got killed on his way home. I didn't know how to take that. And I'm like, well, what if the prodigal son didn't make it home? Where are you going, to heaven or hell? See? If the father don't cover him and put the ring on his finger and kill the fatted calf, he died lost.
Amen.
See, you can't be on your way home. Okay? You can't be turned halfway. See? See? See, you might be like King Agrippa. Pastor, you almost persuaded me to turn. You preach hard, and you spitting all up there. I know you hot with that big heavy roll ball and a collar around your neck, and you almost persuaded. I turned a little. Well, if you die with a 3/4 turn. Lord, I thank you this morning for the word of God, for the people of God that heard it. And I really thank you for the people of God who have heard it and said, you know what? I got to do something. I got to turn. I got to repent. I got to change my mind about some things that's going on in my little world. I got to change my mind. God saved those Ninevites because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And then God said, there's a greater than Jonas is here. It's not me. But when I open up these scriptures, a greater than Jonah has spoken through me. And I say like John the Baptist, I must decrease. I'm not worthy to even tie the laces of his sandals. But a greater than Jonah has spoke today and has talked to us about repenting, changing our minds and changing our thinking. And the message has gone out in desperation because we don't know. 40 days, a lot can happen in the body of this church in 40 days. In 40 days. Father, I thank you for the word. I pray that the folks that have heard it, including myself, those out in sermon audio land, that they would take this opportunity to repent, change, so God can change his mind about us and our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
amen. Amen. Word of God. And let's pray that you guys be safe. A lot of things going on. Doors of the church are open. Friends and families here today. Good to see a lot of you guys out. Pray for Deacon Oliver. He wasn't feeling well. I believe he left. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, to God who alone is wise. Let me say that again. To God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and forever. And God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pray God from